is Transistor with your host, Velvet Steel.
Transistor, the show about trans folks, for all you folks out there who want to listen, learn, and hopefully laugh. Journey. Curves in puberty. Not the kind of thing that a little boy wants to develop. But in my case, that's what I did develop. I developed some pretty interesting hips, waist, and even breasts. And not knowing that I had XXY chromosomes making me think and act and do all these lovely, fun, bizarre things that, you know, little boys didn't do, well, there I was, getting a pretty curvy hip-to-waist ratio. And then, you know, when you're in gym class and you're trying to avoid changing in front of everybody else because you have little mosquito bites as boobs and really raw nipples, well, that wasn't too thrilling nor exciting. And needless to say, I was trying to avoid all those situations because I couldn't wait for the day that I was going to grow body hair or do all these other different things. And when I didn't, and I started getting more shapely and more curvy and realizing that something was very different, I sort of retreated into my own little world of baggy tops, baggy t-shirts, baggy pants. And then when I got into high school, it was all about the tight jeans, and everybody was wearing tight jeans, showing off whatever it was they had in their pants. And believe you me, there were a few guys walking around those high school hallways with some pretty big packages. And that was the other thing too, along with the curves that I was developing a seriously strong interest in the rest of the boys that I was going to school with. I couldn't wait to see what they were packing in their packages. So there I was with all these, you know, lovely curves, lovely hips, a small waist, larger breasts, which actually finally took a little while to fade off. And I would say probably halfway through high school is when they actually did sort of revert back to normal size. And by then I'd already embarked on this whole hardcore exercise regimen to try and change my body shape from hourglass into a V shape. Because as we all know, that seems to be the most desirable shape for a man to have, is a nice V shape. Starting at the waist, moving into a nice tight tummy and big broad shoulders. I didn't have that. And no matter what I did in terms of exercising and doing all kinds of weightlifting and training and things like that, I couldn't get that to happen for the life of me. I would do anything and everything. Instead, I ended up straining myself and my body by lifting weights and being stupid about it. So what did I do? I ended up taking up aerobics because it was one of the things that I felt like I could really be a part of the class, and at the same time keep myself in shape. I'd already given up swimming because, well, you know, going into the change room there, changing again, made me feel seriously uncomfortable. And then standing in there were a few comments that came my way in regards to, wow, look at you. You a guy or a girl? What's that all about? I mean, you certainly aren't developing like a guy would do. And that really hit home for me. And I really wondered why I wasn't developing like a guy, like a normal boy would, or a man or whatever, to get that nice shapely V shape that, well, is so sought after, and not only by everybody else, but by me. So I had to wait it out, and then when high school was finished, that was when I sort of could be more into myself, more understand my stuff, and seek out the counselor in downtown Toronto, who ended up helping me out in the long run to understand more about why my body developed the way it did. Translation. The art of the pass. Padding. We all know what that is. Girls do it in high school. They do it in later on in life. And if you're in my situation or anybody like that, or even if you're one of those cross-dressers, or if you're a drag queen, any of those other people, you probably know about padding. Yes, padding. I'm talking about padding. To get those extra shapely curves and things that anybody wants on their body, there are a multitude of places where you can go and get these things out there. And there's actually a few cross-dressing shops. One of them that's actually called Priscilla's, yes, after the name of the movie, in Australia, in Sydney, that actually supplies a lot of people with padding for the side of the hips. And how these work is they're either in the form of pantyhose, where they actually slip them on, and there's padding through the sides, and they bring the sides of the hips out stronger and a little more shapely on that level. For me personally, I think they make you look like turkey drumsticks. I don't like the look of them whatsoever. So I always say don't even bother or even worry about it, because it doesn't necessarily look that good. But for those who want to and indulge, they do that. There's even padding for the stomach, and these come in the form of a tensor bandage, and they actually create those soft, gentle curves around the belly that most women have. And it's that extra little bit of fat that's there for, yes, if you didn't know it, for protection and for softening or during child-rearing years and when you are actually pregnant. So there are a lot of people are out there getting those things so they can create more of a shapelier look, more of a nicer belly, a rounder belly, a smaller, bigger, lower belly, not a beer belly. No, no, no. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about padding in a tensor bandage that happens there. Now, we can also go the opposite way as well, and tensor bandages around the abdomen. Well, if you happen to be a female-to-male transsexual, you're probably well aware of this as well, because you're using these as binders to bind your breasts down to create a whole different ball game. You're looking for a smaller, flatter, less rounded shape. And that's kind of what they're after. And yes, it is very painful. I know a lot of individuals who are doing that. And they talk about the compression and the bruising and the softening and the hardening and the swelling and the this and the that. So that's not really a, you know, pleasant situation. But as extreme as an example as that is, binding, breast binding to make them flatter. Well, there we go again. Moving on to the next one, padded bras. There's a lot of individuals out there using padded bras, and you can generally get these at any sort of lingerie shop. And let me tell you, they come with all kinds of different substances in those bras. They're in the form of cookies. Cookies are these lovely little styrofoam or foam sort of padding that goes in there to lift the breasts up and make them look bigger. And if you're looking at the new liquid bra, well, they're not actually liquid. What they are is mineral oil, and I know that because I had one when I wanted to have bigger boobs. And there I was walking down the street, not wondering, you know, why I was feeling a little bit wet at one point. And then I really became conscious of the fact that I was feeling really wet. And I just happened to be wearing one of those shirts. It was actually a nice, soft, silky shirt, and only to look down and see this big, huge stain on my chest. Well, yeah, the padded bra had burst, and it's mineral oil. Ugh. So, you know what? There I was running into the washroom at the local restaurant down the street here in Vancouver on Robson Street, our major shopping street, and slipping that off and throwing it in the garbage and walking home with a nice wet mess on my chest. Not too fun, not too exciting. And that stuff stinks when it gets old. So those are two of the other things there. Not to mention the fact of padding the bra with water balloons or condoms, blowing them all up, putting water in them and having that happen. And you can have those explode. I've seen that happen. It doesn't necessarily look like the best of shapes, but yeah, the great lengths that people will go to just to pad themselves and to give those hips and tummy and face and all kinds of different things to feminize themselves. And this is a perfect lead into my interview with Doug Leavers. Doug Leavers of MyTrainerSays.com. And we talked on Skype because we couldn't get him to come into the studio. But I start off the interview with a lovely article about extreme lengths that they go to get themselves padded or more shapely curves. So listen in. This is a good one. Today, I'm going to be talking with Doug Leavers of My Trainer Says. Now, one of the reasons why I want to talk to Doug today is because as a person who is transgendered myself, having gone through all the necessary changes and things like that, and on hormones, and I'm stressing the issue of hormones, is that there are people out there who are doing things to their bodies without the use of hormones before they get to the doctor, before they talk to their endocrinologist, all these different things. And I've had the pleasure of actually being trained by Doug, who I have to say, from his website and from what he's all about, and his website, by the way, is mytrainersays.com, is very intuitive, very knowledgeable, and very
clear on what he wants people to do, and that includes the trans community. And not only does he help with the body transformations that people are going through, but he's also very clear on dietary needs and things. Now, before I introduce you to Doug, I want to read something to you. This is really sort of dear to my heart, and this is something that a lot of people in my situation go through, where they take drastic measures into their own hands to do these things. So listen up, here's one for you. So, here we go. Trans woman charged with death via buttock injections. Florida trans woman known as the Duchess charged with manslaughter after allegedly injecting a woman's buttocks with a substance bought at the Home Depot. Wow. O'Neill Morris, a trans woman known as the Duchess, was charged with manslaughter in a Florida court on Tuesday after allegedly injecting a woman's buttocks with an unknown substance from the Home Depot. The victim, Shatarka Nubi, died in March this year while in prison for an unknown charge in Tallahassee, Florida. The autopsy listed the cause of death as respiratory failure due to systemic silicone migration as a consequence of cosmetic silicone injections of the buttocks and hips. Nubi wrote a letter to the Florida Department of Health in November last year saying that she had received multiple body enhancement injections from Morris and was now suffering severe medical problems. Florida Department of Health investigator Christopher Butler then took a statement from Nubi in December 2011 in which she said that Morris had injected her with substances approximately 10 times between 2007 and 2011. Nubi said she paid Morris $2,000, which is 1,625 euros, for the first injection. Morris does not hold a license to practice medicine in the state, but Nubi's grandmother said that she used to wear medical clothes and a stethoscope when injecting Nubi. Morris is also being investigated for charges of unlicensed practice of healthcare causing serious bodily injury in a number of other cases. One of the injections was witnessed by Nubi's 10-year-old child, and a friend of Nubi said that she had seen her buttocks turn black. Nubi's aunt said that Morris had told her the substance she injected into Nubi's body was from home improvement store, the Home Depot, according to documents by Sky News. I'm sorry I laughed at that, but realistically speaking, I don't think that we go to the Home Depot for those kinds of body enhancements of any sort or any kind, and that really sort of frightens me. And I'm also very well aware of people injecting themselves with mineral oil. And I'm not just going to, you know, localize that to trans folks and people of my nature who are injecting into their face, their hips, their ass, their butts, their breasts, all these different things. And in the earlier days, what they were doing is they were injecting themselves full of free-flowing silicone into their breasts. And I know individuals who, in the 70s for that matter, who had this stuff injected into their breasts and into their butts and into their thighs to give them sort of more shapely appearances, and of course died horrific deaths because of complications associated thereof. And, you know, I really want people to understand that there are other things that you can do before you get to your doctor to talk about hormones and, you know, there's padding, there's things like that. And these are extreme cases, of course. I know that. And I know a lot of people out there who are in my boat, my thing and everything. And Doug, I know you do too. What do you think about all this?
Well, when I hear you talk about injecting things from Home Depot, I mean, it's easy to chuckle about something like that. But there are people that will go to any desperate lengths to alter their body in a way that is more attractive to what they feel society is looking for. I see it all the time, and the internet is filled with things that promise to shape your body the way that you want with minimal effort. So it just stands to reason that there'd be some con person who would take that to the extreme.
Absolutely.
So it's certainly shocking to hear about, but it's certainly not surprising.
No, and I mean, and as for the, you know, me laughing about it, it's more an issue of me being stunned and shocked and amazed that people do go to those lengths, and I do get it. You said that you've seen stuff like this. Can you share and elaborate on some of that?
Well, there's not anything in particular that comes to mind, but I'm looking at a website right now, a slim band, lose weight on this, using this thing. I left a post today on my Facebook talking about September being the month of when all the cons come out and a lot of the get slim fast, change your body fast kind of multi-level marketing schemes come out. And let's face it, people are vulnerable when they're desperate to make a change in their body.
They absolutely, I mean, what do you say to these, you know, these desperate schemes and things like that? I mean, is there any validity to any of them? Or, I mean, is probably, you know, do your research and check shit out, right?
Yeah, most likely that would be the way to do it. I think it all comes down to if it sounds good to be true, it probably is.
I would think so. I mean, you know, I know this. These things can add up when it comes to dollar value for what it is you're going to do to your body to give yourself the absolute look that you want. But I know people that are going through different things where they're actually doing backroom doctoring stuff where they're injecting, still to this day, injecting silicone, free-flowing silicone into the substructure of the muscles to give them, you know, stronger hips, better hip mm-hmm. bones or shape around the hips and butts and breasts and things like that. And I'm so blown away by this. I was, I've done a lot of things to my body, you know. We haven't known that, but anyway. So there, you know, tattoos and all these other different things. And I was on this one show that I thought was really interesting being in. And they interviewed me for tattoos. One of the other subjects that they had done on this show was the injection of mineral oils. And there's a lot of trans folk who are still injecting mineral oil into their bodies, which is, for all intents and purposes.
What does that do?
Well, it enhances the look. It makes them look a little bit more rounder and softer and fuller in different areas.
So it gives a fuller look to different parts of the body, right? The curvy parts.
Absolutely, you know, so that, you know, cheekbones for that matter, uh-huh. breasts, uh-huh. your butt, thighs, mm-hmm. a little bit of the you know, the female belly. And I mean, and mineral oil is a petroleum byproduct.
Actually, looking at some things today online, I noticed a website that was a legitimate website talking about how to make your face look more masculine. And
really?
I don't know what it. You know, I don't know where it went, but it was a legitimate site. So I don't know whether they were trying to sell a product or whether they were just trying to promote, perhaps cosmetics, something like that.
Huh. I mean, you know, I mean, if someone can afford it and they're going to a reputable doctor to have something done to their body, by all means, if you know, if that's what you want to do, I highly endorse that. But, I mean, you and I have talked about this at great length, and when I went and was trained by you, of which I totally thank you for and really enjoyed, because I still use what you told me to this day and mix it up with some of my own research as well. But what can you suggest? What do you think of when you think about these things? Where would you start? Let's put it that way.
Well, I think where I would start is just looking at yourself and seeing what kind of body that you have naturally, because we've all heard of the different somatotypes of a body. You're either an ectomorph, which is the very, very lean, what some would call skinny individual. Mm-hmm. At the other end of the scale is an endomorph, which just generally tends to be a larger, stockier type of person, male or female. And then somewhere in the middle is the quote unquote perfect body that both ends of the scale are striving for.
Right.
So starting there gives you a good hint as to what you're going to be able to do with your body within reason. And I think that's the most important thing to keep in mind, no matter what kind of a change that you're making.
Right.
What is reasonable to expect for my body type, for my age, for my lifestyle, and for the willingness that I have in me to make those changes in a natural way without resorting to some of those drastic measures that you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I'm exposed to these measures on a regular basis because, you know, as someone who's somewhat of an advocate, and I am patting my back here, I get a lot of people coming across my path and asking these different things. I mean, I guess what I want to ask you, Doug, is, how do you get someone to identify what it is they want to do with their body? I mean, like, yes, we're all striving for the perfect body type and shape, as you mentioned, but what about getting someone to recognize that their body type might be the perfect size and shape for themselves, but we need to refine it? I mean, where do you go from there?
Well, usually the first step is identifying. Excuse me, my allergies are very bad tonight.
That's okay.
Getting someone to identify what it is that they want to achieve and the reason for that. And I see that a lot in the gay community, where people are guys are striving to look their best for Pride, or they've got some cruise coming up or some party coming up. And it depends on age as well, because someone who is 25 and trying to enhance their body in some way to be attractive on a Atlantis cruise is going to be a lot different than someone who's 50, whose doctor told them, hey, you better shape up or you're going to develop some heart disease. Mm-hmm. And they've got a totally different reason for doing it.
Some of the things that you just mentioned right now, it sounds like they're sort of short-term fixes. Do you see a lot of that, or?
I see a lot of people go ahead.
I was going to say short-term enhancements.
Yeah, I see people who are trying to achieve something in a short period of time. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that. I mean, if you're training for any kind of reason, whether it's competition or aesthetics, setting a goal is one of the most important things you can do so that you can stay on track to get there. But it's making sure that that goal that you're setting is reasonable and attainable in the time that you've allotted for it, or the time and energy you've got to put toward it.
Right.
Making sure that they fit are what I help a lot of clients identify.
Right. Now, I don't want to say short-term enhancements. I don't want to use that, but I mean, I know a lot of people do fall into that category. But what about, you know, for example, like if someone's coming to you that are, I mean, let's talk about the whole trans issue here as well, because mm-hmm. I mean, I know a lot of female to male, and they seem to be able to work their bodies a little bit more effectively to create a more male, you know, a more masculine presence and outward appearance than, say, someone who's male to female. Female to male look more masculine, easier and quicker than male to female. What are your thoughts on that? I mean,
run that one again.
Male to female, they have a tougher time of looking feminine right off the bat as opposed to female to male. Mm-hmm. What would be, let's phrase it this way. What would be a regimen that you would put someone through if they're not on hormones to start getting them on that track and keep them on track, knowing that it's a long-term goal that they need to maintain?
Well, basically it comes down to a female to male. I'm going to basically say, okay, you got to start lifting like a man when it comes down in the gym. And for a male to female, we're going to lift like a girl. And it sounds silly, but there are definite ways both of those people will do that.
And you know what? Just saying it the way you said it, I think would get a lot of people motivated psychologically, because you're already validating them that way. So, mm-hmm. What would you also include diet in that?
A diet is a totally different kettle of fish, because dietary guidelines for training your body really are quite parallel with the dietary guidelines that you have for living a healthy life. So I don't think that there's going to be a dramatic difference between how I would advise a client who was making a gender change or uh-huh. trying to make the appearance of a gender change in what I would have them eat. There is a difference in the amount of some of the micronutrients, some of the macronutrients like carbohydrates and proteins, but I'd likely partner with a dietitian in that case to make sure that we've got something tinkered exactly for that particular need. Again, going back to those three body types, because if it's let's take for example, a male to female, and this is a big guy, a big endomorphic guy, getting him to slim down by not eating a lot of the foods that promote a lot of testosterone enhancement is obviously a diet that we're going to do. So that kind of a tinkering process would have to be done, and I would certainly advise it to be done under the guidance of a dietitian.
Well, that sounds pretty interesting. I wasn't aware of that. So there are foods out there that increase or encourage testosterone development?
Well, it's actually the release of testosterone.
Okay.
Testosterone is in the body, and it binds to different molecules in your body, or it whenever you have a testosterone level taken, you've got the total testosterone in your body, and then free testosterone, that which isn't bound to some other molecules. So, and I couldn't recount all the science of it or the nutritional science behind it, but essentially there are things that are going to promote the binding of proteins in the bloodstream, and some of those relate to the nutrients in food. Example, red meat.
Uh-huh. Wow, okay.
So a big meat eating guy is going to have to kind of curb that kind of a eating pattern to begin to soften up his body.
Wow, okay. Let's go back to the whole idea of a female to male transsexual coming to you then. So would you encourage them to eat more red meat? Obviously with the guidance of a dietitian, as you said, as well.
Well, certainly there's going to be a need for eating. There'll be certainly more meat. I'm just looking over different dietary guidelines here while we speak. Again, to those objectives, if you're a fairly slight person who is trying to really beef up in an appearance as a bodybuilding man, you're going to have to eat and lift like a man, I guess is what it comes to then.
Love that statement, though. Or the way you said that, it's just so awesome. It's so amazing. Because it's going to get every female-to-male transsexual out there listening going like, yeah, I want to live like a man. I want to do this. I want to have hair growth. I want to get, you know,
right,
pecs and arms and legs and all this other stuff. And trust me, I know a few out there that when you know they start doing their thing and they start bodybuilding, and I turn around and I see them 6 months later, and it's like, whoa, you're pretty hot. It's a good thing I like the table. Like, no. I like the sample from all parts of that table.
The advice would really be not too dissimilar to exactly how I'm finding my training as I'm in my mid-50s and testosterone levels begin to decline as we get older. I make sure that my diet includes testosterone-promoting foods, and I lift heavy, because lifting heavy and working the big muscles of the body that demand energy, they demand nutrition, just increases that free testosterone level.
Wow. This is sort of going off on, it's making my mind think in a whole different tangent here right now as far as that goes, but I'll get to that in a minute. So a man or a male to female transsexual, what would you, without the use of a dietitian at present time, start saying to them?
For a man to female, a male to female?
Yeah.
Soften it up a bit, I guess. Again, I keep going back, forgive me, to those three body types.
No.
But it makes a tremendous difference. A big guy trying to become a slight, very feminine female is going to have a hard time really achieving that unless there's some dramatic shifts in the way they eat, the way they train, and probably just behavioral and appearance and aesthetics is really
absolutely.
What
I mean, for me, what I think about with that is this body dysmorphic image. You know, it's just like making someone happy and comfortable with the body that they're in. Mm-hmm. You know, and realize, making them realize that they can be everything that they want to be, except they just need to be a little bit more accepting of themselves, and we can refine your look for you. Now, I'm just kind of going to go off on a side thing here as well, but I mean, because what we started off talking about was the idea of being able to change your body without hormone use to start off with. And you brought up something that I thought about was the fact that you said you're older. I prefer to use mature because I don't see you as older. You are every inch virile man, as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, and yeah, you
can
are.
Call me daddy.
Oh, okay, daddy. Anyway, oh, you got that out of me, you little. Anyway, so now I'm getting all hot and flush on this side here. So if someone chooses to go in for, and they do have access to hormone replacement therapy at some point in time, because myself, I'm on bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, but I've also gone through all the surgical corrections that I need to be in my life. Is that something that you would think about or consider for other individuals to possibly think about to, you know, increase their levels of estrogen or testosterone or whatever? Or how do you feel on that level?
Now, when you say other people, do you mean people that are interested in
either
transgendering?
Either or, everybody. I mean, you know, I am, and I'm on that path, and I'm very immersed in that path. And to be honest with you, I've been going through for the past, well, month and a half. We all know our drug companies out there, our pharmaceutical mm-hmm. companies are all a big bunch of scam artists, and they're out there to make the dollar and everything else and screw us all over as far as I'm concerned. And I did find out that one company that I was dealing with, which was taking the estrogen from the, you know, yams and all that sort of idea, had the squeeze put on them by another company mm-hmm. that produces their estrogens from horsemare urine.
No,
it's like, really, do I want, and you know, it's an oral thing and it's just the estrogen and there's no progesterone included in anything like that. And it's like, you know, it's putting so much strain on your body, just ingesting it orally, that mm-hmm. I decided that I wasn't going to deal with this. And then when I finally did go and get the stuff, they were telling me, well, you're not going to be able to have it till September. Well, this is going back 3 months ago. So I went mm-hmm. to my doctor and said, I want to try this route, which mm-hmm. yeah, levels, I'm sitting with a patch on my butt and creams that I have to rub onto myself mm-hmm. daily.
Mm-hmm. And there are similar things in testosterone as well.
Yeah, and well, I'm actually back on testosterone, believe it or not. And I'm thinking the same thing, like for men and for women in who are either trans or not, that this is something that they should really seriously think about, because I mean, I feel alive, and as I've entered that community, I'm meeting other people with that mm-hmm. as well. And mm-hmm. you know, I'm starting to think, and you can, people who are in that boat of trans maybe can go to their naturopathic doctor and start talking about mm-hmm. these different things. I mean,
yeah, certainly hormone replacement therapy is nothing unusual in healthy lifestyles of people as they age, particularly whether it's women who are going through menopause or men who are going through andropause. Certain segment of the medical community really promotes hormone replacement therapy for that, and there's lots that has been written on it, pro and con. A lot of fitness books are out there that profess or that promote hormone replacement therapy is a way to capitalize on muscle growth and muscle stamina, again, for males and females. So I'm not surprised to hear that that's something that you would have been exposed to in your world, too.
Well, it just seems much more natural as far as I'm concerned, for as natural as I can possibly get.
Particularly when you said that they're biomatched, because that's imperative.
I think that's really important. I really do.
But probably very expensive, too.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say it's a lot of money, but it's certainly not cheap. And thank God that I've got some medical dental benefits that I'm, you know, very privy to. And part of it's taken care of. But, you know, at the same time, having sterile conditions done to provide you with your creams, your estrogen
right.
and my testosterone creams, they're not covered by any medical plan as far as I understand, so or drug plan, but so it still adds up, so that's still something available mm-hmm. to people. So I'm just thinking that, you know, this is such a bigger issue when it comes to changing your body, whether you're on hormones or not, and the commitment mm-hmm. that it takes to do it. Do you see commitment for me is people are about a quick fix, and
sure.
And I'm really bothered by that, because I see these different things that people are doing to themselves, like injecting themselves with free-flowing silicone, mineral oil, for example. We also talked about it. Well, one of the things that I've found out about, too, is concrete mixture being injected into the ass. wow, really? You want good, firm buttocks, you're going to get them. But, oh, wow, really? You went to that extreme, and then you're wondering why you got so super sick. I just wish that more people would be on board with talking to, people who are personal trainers such as yourself. Because, I think it's really important that you work together, because you can't just be alone in this. But I guess it just takes guts to get out there and ask somebody to say, hey, look, this is what I want to do, right?
Yeah, it is really important. And two things that I'd like to point out is a lot of the myths. I would say that when I'm working with someone new in the gym, mm-hmm. probably the first couple of times that we meet, it's a lot of the discussion is around dispelling some myths that are there in the gym about being able to just lose some fat right in this little pocket of my back, or to move this weight 100 times and that's going to burn more fat than moving it 20 times, something like that. So I think that the training principles are the same, no matter whether you're male and female, whether you're skinny or fat, the mm-hmm. training principles are always going to be the same. And that's something right. that is generic across the board. Go ahead. I was just going to say that there are performance differences between men and women. And generally adult males are going to be stronger than adult females, but absolute strength relative to the size of muscles is essentially the same, whether you're male or female.
Right. Getting people to identify that is something that's not necessarily mm-hmm. People have expectations and they see themselves in a mirror as differently as what they really are. I get that. I understand that. I know myself, I'm going to the gym and then there you are walking by with that lovely smiling face you got, and then it's like, oh, you gotta change it up, girl. Okay, yeah, and you do, and you're good, but you identify stuff. And one thing that I have to say that I really appreciate about you is the fact that you are able to identify, you're able to look, and you're able to say, okay, this needs to change. And given the fact of your age or injuries or whatever it is, and we didn't really talk about injuries, but that's, I think, another show, is the fact that you can see that. You are there, and you're able to say, okay, you want to work on this part of your body? We're going to work on this part of your body. You want to do this? We're going to do this. And it's key, and you're there to persevere with it, not just to come in there like some, big buff god, like some of these other personal trainers that I see coming through the door. This is all about, oh, this is the way it is, and that's how it is. It's like, that to me is not really real. It's not communicative as far as that goes. And that's why I've asked you to be on the show here today, because I know from you having worked with me, you did some stuff in terms of training stuff that actually worked for me, and they still are working to this day. And I just hope other people can see that and not, be scared to ask their trainers or whoever they're working with, because you can't do it really alone, I don't think.
No. I would think that there's more likelihood that a male to female is going to want to curb their training in the gym and maybe even not go to the gym at all. And of course, that's loaded with risk too. When you stop working your body, you're going to stop, not necessarily developing muscles, but keeping muscles in good shape to then be able to tolerate some of the other changes that may be coming down the road.
Right. I mean, that makes 100% sense as far as I'm concerned.
I'm sure everyone watched the Olympics, and the women's Olympic weightlifting was mm-hmm. a really good example of the musculature and body type that a female can develop. And if you could take some of those people and some of those women and dress them up a bit, I'm sure that they would be able to pass.
As a man, yeah, of course. I was on the bus the other day, and I was looking at this back of what I thought was a man, and really cool hair. Just the mannerisms were there, and she turned around, and it was this bodybuilder that I know here from Vancouver, and I was like, oh my God. I was kind of a little bit blown away, and I know this is a woman who does not use steroids or testosterone of any kind. She is so, you know, and I'm glad and happy that you brought that up as an example, because realistically speaking, female bodybuilders, if they're working really hard mm-hmm. and their dietary mm-hmm. situations are the way they're supposed to be, they can make themselves look very masculine. And,
oh, yeah.
You know?
And that's true in all athletics. Female athletes who really, really train hard, the body naturally starts to kind of slough off those processes and parts that are encumbering success and performance. So I think we saw a lot of that.
Yeah, we did. And, you know, one thing I was really bothered about with the whole situation with the Olympics is they were starting to do this testing recently mm-hmm. in regards to if they had too much testosterone or what was going through their body, or if their genders were correct.
And, yeah, there was that woman from Africa.
And I'm just looking for her right now. She went through 11 months of testing to prove that she was a woman. You know, I mean, that to me is really sad as far as that goes. And I mean, like, what do you say? What do you do to someone like that? And as far as that goes, who's worked hard all their life to get where they are, and all of a sudden you have the Olympic.
Oh, yeah, that was
horrible. It's like, you know, Semenya was her name. And
Castor Semenya.
Yeah, that's horrible. Horrible. 11 months of that, and she won it. She did an amazing job. And, oh, because you look like a man and you reacted like a man, you must be on steroids. Oh, look, let's think about this. Oh, you're a transsexual. Well, no, she's not. She just has that lovely body type that's, you know, changed and morphed mm-hmm. into something different from birth.
She's only 20 years old.
Exactly. So her life has been ruined and put on the world stage. You know, I mean, I know she's come forward with that, beyond that, and she's so super strong, and I, you know, applaud her to all ends of the earth. It was like, wow. I mean, literally, what the fuck is that? You know, like, you have people looking up your crotch, up your ass, taking your blood, your urine samples, everything else to find out, we can't figure it out. We can't figure it out. 11 months later, I don't think it should take 11 months to figure that out, but that's my own little bitch.
Wonder if they did that to any of the beach volleyball males.
I'm wondering as well. Well, apparently there was this whole thing through Gay Star News where the during the Olympics, this is exactly what they were doing. They were testing athletes to check on their gender to see where they were at, whether they were trans or not, or what was going on, whether they had sufficient amount of testosterone or a little or estrogen in their bodies. And I'm like, really? How can you? What I'm worried about is how they're going to keep on going with that, because as the world changes and grows and people change and grows, and as we adapt and metamorphosize into different things, you know, we all know that the world has changed throughout time and time again as a result of abnormalities, and those abnormalities have turned out to be positive directions in the development of human beings, right? So mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well... Well, I'm. What can you give us as a closing thought here, Doug?
My closing thought would be to just keep in mind where you want to go on your journey. Recognize what the limits of that are going to be, and be satisfied that you're taking small steps along that way, and that you've got lots of people around you to support you, whether it's through diet, through your nutritional, or through your exercise program. But just not to lose heart in it and stay on the track.
I totally agree. And I really hope people get a hold of you, because I like your approach. Not only are you soft-spoken, but you have an underlying sternness of your approach as well. And you're very encouraging. And anybody that is interested in talking to you, I hope is going to get a hold of you through your website at www.mytrainersays.com. And that's spelled MYTRAINERSAYS.com. And on your site, you've got personal training, testimonials, my blog, contact me. It's, you know what, your site is so lovely to go to because it's not in your face, wow, chicka blah blah, you know, all this other stuff. Yeah, I'm going to say that because, you know, some of them are so either estrogen laced or testosterone laced, and yours encompasses everybody. So, you know, I hope people get a hold of you at mytrainersays.com. And I want to thank you for being on the show and hope that you can be on again, because there's other things that I do want to talk to you about. But today was just about how do we do this without estrogen and testosterone, right?
All right.
All right, babe.
Thanks for having me, Velvet.
Oh, you're welcome. And I'm going to let you go, and I'll talk to you soon. Love you, babe. Oh. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Transitions. Passing, surgical enhancements, things like that. We touched a little bit on the interview Doug and I had, and the newspaper article that I had in regards to the woman out of Florida. Really scary, spooky stuff. And I can only stress the importance of actually getting someone reputable to do something for you. You're not going to go and just start injecting stuff haphazardly into your face, and certainly not stuff from the Home Depot. No way. Hardcore, disgusting. I mean, you know, really, do you want cement, crazy glue, even rubber adhesive, you know, that you use to patch a hole in your tire injected into yourself? Chances are probably not. And one of the things that a lot of people are doing these days as well, and they still are doing this, was a show that I was on a couple years ago called Vanity Insanity. And while I was on for my tattoos, nothing in regards to any of the other work that I've had done, and, you know, I've had a little bit done here and there, but anyway, the rest of the show delved into the whole idea of mineral oil injections. Now, just so you know, people think mineral oil, well, they think from the ground, but it's actually a petroleum byproduct, mineral oil. Yes, it is. And they use mineral oil for massage, all these different kinds of things like that as a lubricant. And to be honest with you, just like Vaseline, which is also a petroleum byproduct, why would you put that stuff on your skin? Why would you want to have your skin have to filter that out? I don't get it. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't want it. And guess what? I certainly wouldn't want it injected into myself. So here are these individuals that are in the States that are thinking, wow, I'm going to do this and I'm going to inject myself in to create lovely shape and transform myself. And I bet most of you, as you're listening to this, are thinking, really? That can't be true. Well, it is true. They actually get people to inject it into their skin, into the muscles, so they can build out shape and curve. And it's not just for female to male or male to female transsexuals who are doing it. There's bodybuilders who have been doing this too, and they've injected it to give themselves a bigger look. There's an individual, if you go out and seek there, and I don't have the pictures to show you, but all you have to do is do a little bit of an internet search through Google. Our lovely friends at Google have provided you with a picture of a man who has open sores all across his arms and his chest, and this is as a result of injecting mineral oil into his body. And what his body has done is gone into overdrive in regards to trying to get that substance free from his body, and basically oozes out. So he's walking around with open sores and wounds, bleeding, oozing mineral oil, all these different things. There's also a woman who injected mineral oil into her face, a Vietnamese woman, and she was an extremely attractive woman. Now, this is a prime example of body image gone wrong. When you see yourself in the mirror and you're seeing something else and you're not really happy with what it is, you go to these lengths to do these things. Her face, well, basically had said it had enough. And instead, what happened was her face ballooned up to outrageous proportions and stretched the skin out and started to fall off and literally rot off her face. The skin coming apart, her lips coming apart. And these are extremely horrible examples of what's going on. And the biggest example of what can happen with mineral oil injections into the skin, under the muscle, all these different things, is death. There are numerous cases of individuals in the States who have died of actual mineral oil injections. And I'm not just talking about male to female. I'm talking about women. Women who, in search of that fountain of youth, injecting mineral oil into the skin. Now, there's another substance that people were also using as well, even though, you know, I have touched on the whole idea of cement and things like that by some weird freakos in the States doing that, is silicone, free-flowing silicone. Yes, we've heard about silicone injected into the body. We've also heard about silicone in breast implants, which they still are putting in breast implants. So if you come across a doctor who's asking you to put in something called cohesive gel, well, guess what? Cohesive gel is just another word for silicone implant. And they will get you to sign away your rights when they put these in. So the whole idea and this big, huge scare that we had recently in regards to the medical profession saying that they didn't want to have silicone in the body anymore, but yet they still turn around and put it in the form of cohesive gel, doesn't really make sense to me. But anyway, there are individuals who still inject free-flowing silicone into their body, medical-grade silicone. And there's even individuals who have gone to great lengths, and I know some of these individuals as well, who have injected in medical-grade silicone into their thighs. And when they didn't get enough of that, they went and got industrial-grade silicone from, yes, the Home Depot, and put that in too. And what did that end up doing? Well, it created a cottage cheese kind of effect on their thighs. So they've got lots of ripples and bumps and things like going on. Not unlike what I would say as cellulite, but only 10 times worse. So think of yourself as going in and taking a scoop of cottage cheese and plunking it down on the plate and looking at the texture that gives, the lumps and bumps and everything in there, exactly what her thighs look like. And as a result, she's ended up having numerous surgeries, probably over 90 right now, to have them removed through small incisions. And I wouldn't say that her legs look really nice. And this, well, let's put it this way, she's not going to the beach anytime soon with a bikini on. So when you're thinking of anything that you want to do in terms of creating some more feminine shapes or curves or anything like that, talk to your doctor. No, seriously, talk to your doctor, because any of these backroom things that people are doing anywhere in places of the world, third world countries, for example, in search of that ultimate fountain of youth, the beauty and everything else, you can end up dead, quite literally dead. Transformers. Toys. Toys in the bedroom. And maybe toys that weren't meant for the bedroom, that somehow found their way into the bedroom? Well, EMS. TENS units. These are awesome, 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 idealistic toys to stimulate muscle. Originally what these were designed for and still are used for is by, massage therapists. And they help to relax the muscles and tighten and relax in tense areas such as your neck, your lower back, even on your feet and your lower legs and your thighs and things like that. Well, these little guys, you know, from the lovely makers at Zeus Electronics, have decided that they are going to use these things for sex purposes. Ooh. So they've come up with all these lovely devices and these lovely electrodes and these pads that, well, if inserted properly, yes, I said inserted, they can give quite a bit of stimulation in the urethral area of the penis or up the butt, up your ass. Mm-hmm. There are butt plugs that actually help to stimulate and provide electric current up your butt, so it actually contracts and relaxes your muscles. And for a lot of people, that's really enjoyable and really fun. And trust me, I've used these things before. Not on me, but on other people, I can tell you that. And then also, too, you can use them vaginally. There's a lovely device that is made by J. Open that we have at the store that I'm working at part-time. And that actually helps to increase the vaginal walls in terms of strength, so they can actually use the Kegel muscles better and actually close them in so they actually become tighter. And it actually has proven to work. And you'll see that the shock making the contact with the skin has to be on a sort of a fluid, water-based fluid, so it actually is getting the current to go through. Otherwise, you're going to burn yourself, and that's what it actually feels like. So these TENS units, you can get them at your local sex shop through Zeus, or you can actually go into Chinatown. Yes, Chinatown. Chinatown has all the alternative forms of medicine, acupuncture, needles, all these different things, massage, stuff like that. And if you go into one of the places in Chinatown, you can actually pick up a TENS unit for fairly cheap. And they are medical grade TENS units, and they're awesome. They're amazing. The pads are self-sticking pads that you can actually apply to the penis, apply to the breast, apply to the butt, apply to the inner thighs. They are fun. I can't tell you how much fun these guys are. And anywhere in the neighborhood of $90 up to $150, we actually have one. Well, I have a couple. And I have one TENS unit that actually cost me $150. I also have one that's full body. That one cost me $400. So you can see there's quite a variance in prices with these guys. And one thing that I've also learned, because I'm a little outside the box and think about different things, is I don't even attach the pads on them either. I just keep the pin happening and put on some water-based lubricant, put that onto the skin and see what it does. It's fun. TENS EMS units. Transonic. Because I'm supersonic. At least I like to think so. My life as a professional dominatrix has taken me a lot of different places. Some places where I never thought I would go, others that I didn't kind of want to go, but I did anyway, and others that, wow, they really opened up some doors. And following on the TENS unit, well, I ended up with this one client one time who I saw on quite a regular basis, and I didn't know that he was into the whole EMS thing. Well, there we were, playing up a storm, had him bound up pretty damn good, and I'd almost run out of ideas for this individual, and what should I do, and what should I put on him, and where should I put it, and how should I do it, and blah, 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 and he'd gone the full gamut of all these different things, because he was about testing his boundaries. And a lot of individuals who are into the whole BDSM fetish community are about testing their boundaries. Well, what did I do? I went and picked up my TENS unit, and there it was. And I went and stuck it on that hard-on and wrapped it up good and tight, and I put that on there, and I had my dials turned up really quite low to start with. Yes, I'm going to stress start low. And by the time he was done with that, he didn't know what to expect with that, but he said, as far as that goes, and judging by the look on his eyes, it was the most intense, most exotic, erotic feeling he'd ever had on that cock of his. And I can tell you, watching his dick get bigger and harder and swell, well, I guess that was the right response that I wanted. Needless to say, by the time he was done with his sessions, we had those dials cranked up to level 10, watching it happen. And so moving from his cock, I decided that I was going to get my bigger TENS unit happening. And what did I do with that one? Well, you're probably wondering. Yes, I did. I went and stuck it on his ass. And I even stuck one on his asshole. Ooh, you think that's probably burning? Nope, it doesn't. He was moving in this whole, you know, frenzied action of his dick throbbing, his asshole throbbing. It was so fucking hilarious. Excuse my mouth, but it was. I don't know how to explain it. To the point where I had to go and have a little giggle in the other room. And that's one of the things that, well, he's not about humiliation. So I wasn't about to laugh at him in front of him. And there I was in the other bedroom, giggling up a storm while he's in the other room, throbbing up a storm. It was pretty interesting shit. And I certainly learned that having an EMS unit available for play with my clients was something that I was definitely going to expand on. It was so fun. It was so exciting. It was so interesting. And I wonder if he actually went and got one for himself, because I didn't see him too long after that one anymore, and I don't know if I put him over the edge or gave him the ultimate feeling that made him grow up and try something new. Transcriptions. Letters. Inquiries, questions from you, the listener. Today I've got one from Christine of British Columbia. That's the only where she tells me, you know, some people, I just want to stress to you when you are writing in, you don't have to tell me where you're at or where you're from or what you're all about. Just send me your questions. And you don't even have to give me your name. If you want to use a pseudonym, that's all good too. But anyway, what she's asking is how long it takes to see the result of hormone treatment. Well, I can tell you when I started my hormone treatment that things started to change pretty rapidly. Hair growth starts to come back on the scalp. That's what ended up happening. And if you're asking for a specific time frame, I would probably say about 2 to 6 months is when I started noticing stuff. And it was gradual. Yes, the hair started first. The skin started to soften as well. Hair growth on the face starts to slow down and in some cases stop. For me, what it also did as well, it started to reposition my body fat. What I ended up with was a larger amount of body fat on my abdomen. And yes, as I talked about before, I've had liposuction. So I had 3 liters of fat removed from my tummy. And that's a pretty big amount of redistribution of fat on my stomach. The other thing that started to happen as well is the skin softens up. So you actually get a little smoother, more softer effect. You get rounder curves on the hips. You also start to grow breasts. Your nipples start to soften up and become actually quite sore. And they start to really get really, really tight. So if you take a balloon, for example, and blow it up and rub your finger across it, that's kind of what the nipples start to feel like. And they grow. And those actually can take anywhere up to 3 months to 2 years, even longer in some cases. And that's why a lot of doctors, when they're doing breast augmentation, actually opt out of doing breast therapy or breast augmentation, whatever you want to call it, until the development on the nipples and the breast area has actually subsided and stopped and sort of normalized itself. Now, in my case, because of the estrogen and the hormones and the progesterone and testosterone, it's something that you need to have monitored with your doctor as well to get optimal levels going on in your body. So don't think that you can just go and get them yourself and do, as I said before, stay away from anything black market, backroom action, because you're going to probably get something that's going to be not good for you and not great. And you need to have your hormone levels monitored with an endocrinologist and your doctor to find out what's actually going to work best for you and to get yourself normalized and feeling good. But, you know, with all those things that happen to the body, your answer to your question is 2 to 6 months, approximately. But I can tell you, watching your body grow and change, really exciting, really fun. And if that's the route you're going to go, go talk to your doctor and do it properly.
You've been listening to Transistor with your host, Velvet Steel.